blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 15, the first stanza. Lord, our Lord, and thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim, in the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. Infant lips thou dost ordain, wrath and vengeance to restrain, weakest means fulfill thy will, mighty enemies to still. The first stanza of Psalter 15.
Of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe an holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us read together from the Gospel according to Luke, and thereof chapter 10, the verses 17 through 24. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples, and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see, for I tell you, that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them thus far. Let us read next from the form of the for the administration of holy baptism, which you can find on page 126 in the back of your Psalters. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10, verse 16. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, and that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love. That they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ, thy Son, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and unto our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used to that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. And what is your answer, Father and Mother Breidweg? Father and Mother Brunn? Father and Mother Baus? Father and Mother Herskap? Father and Mother Van Driesten? Father and Mother Verhoef? Dear parents, we have just heard out of God's word and that the Lord Jesus rejoiced, it says, in spirit. That is a very wonderful word. Because the Lord Jesus was at this time in the state of his humiliation. That means we read in Isaiah that he was a man of sorrows and that he was acquainted with grief. And wherefore, that was to pay an awful and a very great price. It was the price for sin. It was the price for the sin of his church, which he had to pay with his own blood. And now we read here that he rejoiced in spirit. That was in the midst of all of his sorrows when he walked through this world. We do not read that so very often, do we? But just for a moment here, as it were, and that was not in an outward way, but that was in his soul, and that was in his spirit. And what did he rejoice about? Well, we read that he rejoiced in the revealing of the truth of God, revealing the Son, and the Father, the knowledge of the Son and the knowledge of the Father, revealing this unto his disciples. Thus, the Lord Jesus rejoiced in this. When the knowledge of himself and the knowledge of his Father may be given over, may be received by his disciples, and that was not just he himself that did rejoice, But we read that the Father also, we read, "Even so, Father, for so it was good in thy sight." Thus the Father and the Son are therefore together, rejoicing in the application of the mediatorial work of his only begotten Son. And that is now for you parents and ought to be a very, very great encouragement. It is actually a pleading ground, because what shall we plead upon if we go as parents and grandparents upon our knees? What can we lay before the Lord as a reason, and that he ought to look upon us and upon our children? There is no reason in us, but there is reason in him. And thus we read that Christ and his Father do take delight in the application of all of what the Lord Jesus is doing here upon the world. And that is a pleading ground now, because they themselves are worthy of that delight. We are not worthy of it, but they are worthy of it. The Son of God, for all that he has done, and that he may now receive delight in the bringing of his church in, and then the Father may receive delight in all the things that he has wrought, even from that great eternity. Delight. Delight in what? Delight in the redemption of his church. There was not so much delight in the objective part, was there? No, not for the Father. And not for the Son. That was a great humiliation for the Son. And there was great suffering for the Son. That was not a delightful thing. But it is now for both of them in the way of application. And now here today is a picture that is set before you and the whole congregation of the application. That is the institution of Christ, not of us. He says that we must do this. And now for 2,000 years, that was 2,000 years ago that he has instituted that, and that is still being done. And he has said that that image, as it were, that picture, that what may be seen of the gospel, that being applied unto men, whether that is in the dipping or in the pouring or in the sprinkling, but is all in the application. And that is the application of what? That is something that is now so precious. If we have a certain ointment, an expensive ointment in this world, then we say that is extremely valuable. And when we have now a picture before us of that blood, that is of an inestimable value. Do you ever feel that? We have just heard that out of the form, what value that is. And now for just those few drops to be placed upon the forehead of our child, then in our heart can be a cry for them and for ourselves. Oh Lord, just for a drop of that valuable ointment. Oh, that ointment, that one drop of that blood that is able to wash me and my children, and to cleanse and to take away all of our sin. Oh, will you remember that you are going to now approach in a physical, in a visible way? You are now going to come and you are going to approach what is a picture of a fountain. And when you now do approach that fountain, and that water is placed on your child's forehead in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, will you consider that in those moments? with a cry in your heart and saying, O Lord, that this is now thy delight. It is thy delight. Oh, is it also our desire, as much as it is his delight, now to make the application of all that he has done? Oh, may it be for me. May it be for my wife, my husband, and may it be for my children. Oh, that we might be encouraged in this way, that we might ask and that we might seek and that we might knock. While the children are being brought in, let us sing from Psalter 238, the third stanza. And after baptism, we ask the congregation to stand and sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. 238, stanza 3. When the Lord shall count the nations, sons and daughters he shall see, born to endless life in Zion, and their joyful song shall be, blessed Zion, blessed Zion, all our fountains are in thee. The third stanza of 238. Rainier Peter, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Caleb Garrett, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Addison Jane, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Alea Cornelia, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hudson Harvey, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jaden Connor, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee and that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, strengthen these parents in this labor that thou didst lay upon them, granting unto them this blessing that thou dost open the womb, and granting unto them now what is necessary to fulfill that task which is laid upon them by thee. Lord, then it is so necessary that we see, that they receive grace from above within their own hearts, because we are ever seekers after this world, and the promise that was made out of their mouths in these moments has been that they would not bring up these children, following after all the wiles of the devil here below. But now how is it possible if their own hearts are seeking after all these things, O Lord, that thou may grant unto each one of them thy grace, and that it may be not only in its essence and in its being, but may it be even in exercise day by day. Oh, and we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost, as we have just heard it out of that blessed form. Then that Holy Ghost does promise unto us that he will grant that daily sanctification. Oh, Lord, then there is blood to be sought as a refuge each and every day for thy people, who are not able to keep the least commandment of the Lord. Oh, that thou would show it unto thy church, when they may be in the midst of us also in this afternoon hour, that thou may look upon the grandparents also. Lord, thou knowest the gladness that can be in the heart of grandparents when they see that their children do walk in the ways of the Lord, and when their grandchildren also may be received as members in that outward church. Oh, then there is a hope, then there is a prayer, then there is a cry within in their hearts also in this day. Oh, Lord, could it please thee to give unto them a place also in the midst of their families, that help for their children and for their grandchildren, that they may be given to see that life is so very short, and that the warnings may come continually out of their mouths, and that the drawing also of their own hearts and of their mouths may be used for their children and for their grandchildren. O Lord, show unto them also their great responsibility. Look upon those who have no children. O Lord, then there could be those in this afternoon hour that do look with a longing heart, that thou also, as Hannah did of old, wouldest remember them also and grant them a blessing from on high. O Lord, thou knowest there are those also standing here who have for so many years besought it out of thy hand. And now, O thou, they may acknowledge thee for all thy great gifts. So remember those also that do wait. And if it could please thee, grant them also this blessing. And if not, O Lord, O that thou may grant them to see that they have no fruit of their own souls, and all of us together, O Lord, that it might be as it was with thy servant Paul, who did complain that there was no fruit, O Lord, no fruit on this tree forever, but thou sayest, from me is thy fruit found. O that it might also be in this afternoon, that thy church may look higher than themselves, and that there may be a hoping and a looking, a longing and a panting,
that we may receive everything out of that fountain. Nothing can come from us. We have no power and we have no rights. But thou hast all the mercy and all the grace, all fulfilled in that way of absolute perfect justice. O Lord, glorify thyself. Do rejoice in the application. May it be also in this afternoon hour. O look upon all the congregations. Look upon all the parents. Look upon the schools, teachers, administrators, all those that labor. O Lord, could it be for the sake of the rising generation? O bring in that 140 and 4,000 out of us also and out of our dear children. Give that while this world does draw our hearts, thy Spirit may come and say thus far and no further, that we could not go one more step upon our way, but that we might turn again. Oh, to enter in through that straight gate and to walk upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Lord, take reasons out of thyself. Help thou us in this afternoon. Oh, we have seen it already so clearly in that visible gospel. Oh, that must be accompanied by the audible gospel. Lord, give it unto us to speak a few words. Thou sayest, I have put my words in thy mouth. Oh, show it then, Lord. Oh, then it is for a cause. It must be for a reason. Oh, give that it may be for the bringing in of thy church in this afternoon hour. Forgive and take away our many sins. Feed thy people, thy sheep, and thy lambs. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 431, all the stanzas. Unto God our King, joy and strength of Israel, lofty anthems sing, glorious are His ways, to His name give praise. With the harp and timbrel, 1-6 of Psalter 431. words of our text congregation for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion read to you, Luke 10, and thereof the 21st and the 22nd verses. Luke 10, verses 21 and 22. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So far the words of our text, revealed things. First, the things that are revealed, and second, the persons to whom they are revealed. Revealed things, first the things that are revealed, and second, the persons to whom they are revealed. Revealed things. What things are they? All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Thus the Lord Jesus speaks about knowing who the Son is and who the Father is. Do we desire to know those things? What kinds of things do we want to know as we are going through this world? Is this now in our eyes more to know than all the things that this world, that can be known in this world? We were created by the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and we have also to meet him. And if we have to meet him, then of course it is in our interest that we may also know him when we have to stand before him. But the Lord Jesus also said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Thus it is not only a matter to stand in judgment, but there is something that also ought to draw us. Eternal life. Does that draw you, young people? Or does only all the things of this world draw us? By nature, we are not drawn to this. No, we are carnal, Paul says. We are sold under sin. And then, children, you ask the Lord for a new heart, right? And when you get a new heart, this is now the thing that changes. The Pharisees had a very strict religion, but the Lord Jesus said to those Pharisees, ye neither know me nor my Father. Well, what was then the profit of all the religion? If they did not know God, they did not know the Son, and that they did not know the Father. And thus, how long have we come to church? Maybe come and gone many, many years. What will now be the profit of all of our religion if in the end we never come to know the Son and we never come to know the Father? Then indeed, congregation, our religion is vain. Vain. Everything that we have done, and it will only testify against us. No man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son. What does that mean, to know? That is not just a mind knowledge, but that is to have communion with one another of the Father. The Son says, I know him. I know him, for I am from him, he says, and he hath sent me. He was one with the Father. I, he says, and the Father are one. There is no communion that is closer than the communion of the Father with the Son, that is closer even than the communion that we have within ourselves, that is between our soul and our body, those two most intimate friends that we don't want our soul to leave us, right? We fight that. There are no weapons in that warfare. But that in the creation they had to be brought together. They were not always together. And they will not always be together. They will be separated for a little while. And while the body is in the dust and turns to dust, and then they will be brought together again, and they will be together for a never-ending eternity. But now that union and that communion between our body and our soul is still not the same as the union and the communion between the Father and the Son. We do not understand the Trinity. That is not for us to understand. That is for us to adore. It is for us to worship. But that unity in the persons of that triune God is now something which the Lord, He says, He is going to bring His church into, that they may also be joined unto Him in unity. That is for us incomprehensible, but that is expressed in our text. No man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. And when He reveals Him, he will know the Father. Such an unfathomable wonder ought to make us stand in awe. Such an unfathomable wonder ought also to stir up a desire to live and to burn in our heart. It is not for us to know what the extent of that blessing is yet, no. But it is for us to be drawn to it, and to smite our breast when we are not drawn to it, and to ask the Lord if He will give to us that regenerating grace, that our hearts may be changed and that we might run after Him. For what purpose is Christ come into the world? Why did Christ come into the world? That is, that He may bring the church back unto His Father. We did not leave Christ in paradise, but we left God. Christ is the mediator. He has come to bring back His church unto God. And we cannot know the Father except through the Son. If ye had known Me, ye should also, the Lord Jesus says, have known My Father. Because it is now the purpose of the Son to give that knowledge of His Father. Christ is the express image, we read in God's Word, of His Father. And so He says to Philip, if you have seen Me, then ye have also seen the Father. So everything that is in the Father, that is expressed in the Son. In the Son we behold the love of the Father. In the Son we behold the justice of the Father. In the Son we behold the mercy of the Father. In the Son we behold the law of the Father. In the Son we behold the covenants. Both of the covenants, the covenant of works, we see that also in the Son, in what He had to and did and was able to obey. And we see also that covenant of grace. We see that in the Son, and that was made with the Son by the Father. Oh, how can we know the law of the Father? How can we know the justice of the Father? How can we know the mercy of the Father? How can we know the love of the Father outside of the suffering and the dying of his only begotten Son? We cannot know it. We cannot even know it in our mind, much less can we know it in the way the Lord is speaking about here, that we may be brought into communion with that Father, because it is only through the Son that a man, that a soul may be brought into communion with the Father. The Lord Jesus says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Thus, the Lord is bringing that church into communion with himself. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Thus Christ declares how that the knowledge of the Son and the knowledge of the Father is received. He says it is received by revelation. What is that? That means to uncover. That is to lay open and to lay bare as something that is veiled, that is covered. So to disclose something that before is unseen, that thing is unknown. Thus, he speaks here of things that are hid and things that are revealed, things that are covered, things that are uncovered, things that are veiled, things that are unveiled. Thus, hid, covered, veiled. You know what that is? You read that word of God. Oh, you say it is veiled. What does that mean? You say it is unknown. Then it cannot be known because there is a cover over it. Then it is hid. And there is no amount of human learning that is able to uncover what the Father is hiding. The doctors of the law in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ were very, very highly educated men. And the Lord Jesus said to them that you do not know the things that belong unto your peace. That was with all of their education, not in worldly things, no, but in religious things. Luther was a man of very great learning and yet grace. And that is so simple, isn't it, people of the Lord? Grace. Say, that is so simple. But it was hid from him. It was hid from his eyes until it pleased the Lord to reveal it to him, to open it to him, to uncover it. This hiding, we read here, is the work of the Father and the Son. Christ says, thou hast hid these things, and thou hast revealed these things. And again, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Thus it is the Father and it is the Son who are doing this work of hiding and revealing. You say, I thought that was the work of the Holy Spirit. That is true. That is the particular work of the Holy Spirit. But it is the Father and the Son who, we read in God's word, are those who send the Holy Spirit. And thus it is attributed here, this work of hiding and revealing, to both the Father and the Son. Christ here rejoices in this hiding and in this revealing, because it is all to the honor of his Father, that is to his justice, but also it is to the honor of his mercy. And it is all to the overthrowing of that kingdom of Satan. Thus, in the first place, that hiding. And from whom is he hiding it? We read here from the wise and the prudent. Who is that? Is that now the wise and the prudent men of the world? No. Here he is speaking about people that are in the church. And they are bringing that human wisdom into the church with them to make an application of that wisdom unto the spiritual things. Thus we bring our carnal wisdom and we bring our carnal prudence. And with our carnal wisdom and our carnal prudence, we want to try to obtain that glory, the glory that the Bible speaks about. And we want to obtain that glory in a way that is the, we would say, the quickest way. It is going to be the easiest way, and that we are able to obtain it. That is, if we can now receive it, young people, with the least trouble. Now we read in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus says, that if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And the Lord says that it is through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of God. And what do? Well, we bring our carnal wisdom. We bring our carnal prudence with us. And we say, no, that I am going to step over. That it will not be a way for me of trial. It will not be a way for me of tribulation. What does Peter say? He says, Lord, this shall not be so unto thee, that you will have to suffer and that you will have to die. And if you have to, then we have to too. And Peter, with his carnal wisdom, does not wish to go in the way that the Lord is instructing his people. Carnal wisdom, how do we receive carnal wisdom? Carnal wisdom is not received by decreasing. Right? Boys and girls, we start in pre-K and kindergarten, grade 1, grade 2. And what do? We just increase and increase and increase. And that's how we learn. Yes, that is now the way it goes. With our carnal knowledge and with our prudence. And we want this also to go in the same way that we are going to learn those spiritual lessons that the Lord instructs his people in. And what then do we not understand? Well, that carnal wisdom and that carnal prudence that does not understand that the Lord does not teach those lessons in the heights, and he does not reveal his Son, and he does not reveal his Father in the heights, no. But he is revealing them in the depths of desolation. Thus, what did Hannah sing? Thou hast filled the hungry with good things, and the rich thou hast sent empty away. Oh, where are those revelations taking place? Oh, it is where the Lord has laid a man low. It is where the Lord has brought a man in the dust. Oh, to whom was the revelation of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? That was to his disciples. It was to those who are brought so low. It was to those who were mourning, those who were weeping, or it was to those who did not know it anymore. And now to the rest, it was not revealed. to the rest. It was hid, and that righteously. Let us sing a moment. From 403, the third stanza, no human might, no earthly pride, delights the Lord above. In them that fear him, he delights, in them that trust his love. 3 of 403. That hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, and that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Our second thought, the persons to whom they are revealed, and we read they are babes, and they are here set over against the wise and the prudent. So just like a little infant, he is set over against a grown and an educated and a learned man. The Lord Jesus says, verily I say unto you, except ye become converted and become as a little child, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thus, that is what conversion does. It makes us congregation even as a little child. And what now is a babe? A little child. And then how and what does he differ from an adult and a grown man? Some will say, well, he is innocent. Little child is innocent. Is that true, boys and girls? Is that true? Maybe we get the littlest one who can understand a little and ask if you are innocent. And then you will have to say, as soon as you have any understanding, no, I am not innocent. And you see all those little children today, they are not innocent either. We heard they have the guilt of Adam on their account. And then they have something else. There is inside of them a fountain. A fountain. It is a fountain of iniquity, and fathers and mothers, it is just going to start coming out little by little. You won't have to teach them any of that. It is going to come out little by little all by itself. Thus, no, far from it. A little child is not innocent. But do you know what a babe is? A babe is ignorant. He does not know anything about what is going on in this world in which he has now come to exist. And this is now a characteristic of those spiritual babes that the Lord Jesus is speaking about. What did Saul of Tarsus say? He says, "Who art thou, Lord?" First question. In his conversion, when the Lord made him into a babe, into a little child, that no one had to be afraid of anymore, that everyone feared before, and now he is made into a babe, and that is the first question that comes out of his mouth. Thus, there you have that learned man who knew it before so very well. He was a teacher in the church. He was an instructor of others. He taught everyone about God, about the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, and about the law of God and the covenants of God. He could speak about these things. He knew us so much better than God's people, those followers of Jesus of Nazareth, who were ignorant in his eyes and who ought to be imprisoned and who ought to be put to death. And suddenly, Saul doesn't know anything anymore. Nothing. All his wisdom and knowledge that is stripped away from him. When? Then he stood before God. And when he stood before God, God appeared unto him. Then everything that he thought he knew about God, he found out that he didn't know anything. Nothing. And he was very afraid, because we read that he trembled. How will that be? If we go now, after learning catechism, confession class, all our life long, coming to church, we come to the end of our life, and we have to stand before God, and we find out that we do not know him. That is a solemn thought, isn't it? And Saul is, of course, still in the land of the living. And he immediately begins to beg the Lord for instruction from heaven. Who art thou, Lord? Such people do not look for knowledge then of the world. They need to do their task diligently, yes, but then it is not also all of the things that are connected to religion and connected to the Bible. No, what is now the question? When the Lord will make to them a babe, well, then it is, who art thou, Lord? That is now the great lack of that man who has been truly converted by the Lord. Then he begins to see things that he has never seen before. And then he is becoming just like a little child who is missing, who is lacking, who is lacking the most essential knowledge, the knowledge of his Maker, the knowledge of his Creator. No, it is not just that he is lacking that in his mind. No, but then he is missing something, because that knowledge is what kind of knowledge? It is a knowledge of communion. And so when he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" Oh, then he is longing. That is the way it is with that people. Then it is the knowledge of knowing him. It is the knowledge of his favor unto me, to my soul. It is the knowledge of his blessed communion that they are seeking after. Thus, when the Lord makes a man a spiritual babe, and then the Lord begins to reveal unto him certain things, beginning with that he does not know God, beginning with his misery, beginning with his guilt, beginning with the corruption of his heart. That is an altogether different kind of learning than Saul had ever done before in his life. He had always learned it by the books, and by God's book too, even. By reading, do you read the book of God? But we need more. Because now the Lord is revealing to Saul something. Now he is opening up to something, and Saul has never in his life known this kind of instruction. Now with all the education that he knew in his life, we read that the scales, after 3 days, they're falling from his eyes. And then he sees. And when you see, they say seeing is believing, right, young people? Seeing is believing, and that is true. Because when the Lord opens your eyes, and you may see, then you will believe. Then you will believe. Oh, then faith. That is so easy, because the Lord uncovers it, the Lord shows it unto you. And Paul says later, what are the things that the Lord revealed unto him? He says, he revealed his Son in me. Ah, then he saw him. What does that mean? The Lord revealed grace. Grace. Oh, Paul never knew that, you say, never knew that. No. Oh, you say he knew it from the Word of God. He never knew it for himself. And the Lord opens it unto him. And then he sees that new and that living way. The way, or he receives knowledge of the Son. And how that Son is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way unto the Father. Thus, he is receiving the knowledge, is revealed to him of the Son and of the Father, and has revealed them unto babes. A babe is not able to reflect. He is just living, as it were, in the time. He is unsophisticated. He just lives in the moments. He cannot think about the process, how that things are taking place and how that he thinks. A babe does not say, I am hungry or I am thirsty. No, he just is hungry. He just feels it. And he just is thirsty. And what does he do? He cries. And then he is fed. Oh, that is the way it is with all the babes, right, children? Your little brother, your little sister. Say, they cannot think about what is happening. No, they're just crying because they're hungry, because they're thirsty. Oh, the direct acts of faith are not reflexive. Oh, they are direct. They are looking at the object of faith. And they are not able to see in those moments of the direct acts of faith what that process of faith is. Thus, the revealed things are received in the heart just like a babe when they are opened up unto the Lord. They are directly for their instruction. They are received directly in their heart. That is, that they might be fed, that their hunger and their thirst for the knowledge of the Father, of the Son, that may be fulfilled. Oh, they cannot say they have so much knowledge. Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. All that is the way, those revealed, it is the opening of the eyes. Oh, yes, there are more things to learn, because then that child, oh, he grows up, of course, and he learns how to reflect. And it is in the reflection that a man receives the assurance of faith. Here, no, now we speak about the things the Lord Jesus is speaking about, the things that are revealed. And those things that are revealed unto that church are received by them as a babe. There are people, those who say, well, we don't need any other revelation, because we have the revelation. We have the revelation of that word of God. Congregation, that is what they say. This is now what the Lord Jesus says. And the Lord Jesus says that those things, even they had the word of God. They had the word of God. And those things, when people have the word of God, he says, they are still things that are hid. And they are things that need to be revealed. You say, how are they hidden? The Lord, the Bible that says that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That is so plain. Right? Who needs to explain that? Is there anything hidden about that? Ah, that is not now the knowledge that the Lord Jesus is speaking about here. Just the knowledge of our mind, no. That is objective. And we agree, that is easy. We can do that with all our carnal prudence and all our carnal wisdom. But the Lord Jesus is speaking about that other knowledge, not about that which is objective. No, he is speaking about that which is subjective. He is speaking about that which is experienced. He is speaking about that which is personal. He is speaking about that which is advantageous to the need of our soul as we are traveling through this world. How that we can live in comfort and how that we can die in peace. Because, oh, then you say, well, that very well may be true. That the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I believe that. And I believe that is written in the Bible. But there's nothing there about me. And I cannot perceive any relation of this and of him to me. No. And why do we not see that relation? We do not see that relation because we are not yet lost. The congregation, when we are lost, oh, then there is a relation. Because then it is written in the Word of God about a man who is lost. Now, what does it mean to be lost? Well, it means just that. You're lost. You're lost. And then a man who is lost does not know how that he can deliver himself from that lost state and condition. Doesn't know that. What alone can he do? The only thing he does is he begins to cry like a babe. Oh, it is a great blessing if we may be given, congregation, to cry like a babe. with the simple consciousness of our lost state and condition, in all of our wretchedness, and in all of our helplessness, just like a babe. When Israel was in Egypt, then they cried like babes. The Lord increased their suffering in his mercy, in his grace to that people, until their cry came up unto the Lord of Sabaoth. And then what do we read? God heard their groanings. Oh, that is the way now of the Lord. Oh, that people are in distress. They are in so much distress that they are not thinking. They are just like a babe. They do not think about the process, no. Oh, they do not think about faith and how that they must now do it, how they must now receive it. They are just crying in their need. The Lord Jesus said to the father of the lunatic, he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Oh, that poor man, that poor father. Believe? Oh, do I believe? Do I not believe? Oh, Lord, I believe. But oh, when he has now to examine himself, then he sees so much unbelief. He sees so much. If thou canst do anything. What is that? Say, that is all doubt. It is all. And then he looks at that boy. And he says, Lord, my boy. My boy. Oh, wilt thou have mercy on us? Oh, then he goes back to crying. Just like a little child. And it is now the kind of crying. And that the Lord is hearing, and he is answering this kind of crying by revealing, by opening, by uncovering the mysteries of his own salvation to a lost and to a perishing sinner. He says, are you lost? Are you lost? The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That which is lost. And then he says, oh, he sees it. He sees it. Did you ever see it? When you were lost, did you ever see it? Read it in the Word of God. Oh, then that Son of Man is stated, your own name is written in the Word of God. Say it is Peter. It is George. No, lost. There it is. And now the Son of Man, he has come to seek, and then it is all uncovered. And then faith. Ah, they don't have to think about that. That I am now going to do, and now I'm going to, and may I believe? No. It does believe it. Because he sees it. The Lord opens it unto him. The Lord reveals it unto him. And then he sees and he believes just like a little child. And he trusts, and he is glad, just like a little babe resting upon that blessed word of God. And so he comes to know the Son, who that Son is, that he is the Savior of sinners. And so he comes also to know the Father in his long suffering, in his justice, but also in his grace. Oh, congregation, if we could only just learn to cry like a little baby. If we could just only cry like a little baby. Oh, boys and girls, you are close. You know, the bride in the Song of Solomon, she looked at the daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, she says, if you find my beloved, then tell him that I am sick of love. Oh, she thought. Oh, they are closer. They are closer to it than I am. Boys and girls. Ah, it's just been a little while ago that you were that small, right? Just a little while ago. A few years maybe. Now you're getting older. And, oh, then you used to just cry. And then your mother fed you. Oh, that is now what you have to do. That's just before the Lord. It's just not for fathers and mothers only, no. As for little boys and girls too. Oh, they are included in that kingdom of heaven. And if you might learn just to cry, ah, sometimes you whine, don't you, to your mother. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. That is not good. But you may do that to the Lord. The Lord says you may do it. Oh, and then you just, if you don't get it, oh, then you keep whining, right? And you keep going back and you say, oh, I want it. I need it. Ah, if we could only learn to cry, the older that we get, you say, the less that we cry. Peter, he just said, Lord, save me. Oh, the Lord heard him. David says, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. Is that not so childlike? Is that not so simple? Just like a little bit. When does your baby stop crying? When? Say, when he's fed. When he's fed. You know what Solomon says? He says, go to the end. Learn from that end. You just said you were going to teach your children, right? And before you have to begin, maybe you should just go to your baby and learn from that baby. When he is crying, that he never stops until he is fed. And you may receive that instruction, fathers and mothers, from your little child first. That, oh, if you really want to get, you know what we do. We don't want to cry. We don't want to. We want to be like an adult. And adults, we say, well, they don't cry. No. We want to be more reasonable about it. Maybe we are so reasonable about it that we say, well, if a man is elected, then he is elected. And all the crying that he can do, that is not going to help him anyway. A child can't do that, can he? No. Because a child can't think that far. Oh, then we go so far that we try to go into the thoughts of God that are hidden from us. And then we miss the blessing. Why? Ah, we do not want to cry. And who gets it? Who gets it? Oh, it is those babes. You know, we read in God's word that if a son will ask his father a piece of bread, is he going to give him a stone? How did the lepers get it? How did the blind get it? How did the lame get it? How did they get it? They cried. They just cried like a babe. He hears the ravens when they cry. Are you not more than the ravens? The church is like Hezekiah. Hezekiah, what did he do? He turned his face to the wall and he wept. He wept. Yeah, and then he even says it himself. He says, like a crane or a swallow, I did chatter. He just chattered, just like a baby. Yeah. Oh, a child is so dependent. A child is so helpless. A child is so needy. A child has no wisdom. A child has no strength. A child has no righteousness. And now Christ, he has everything. Everything he has, and he is everything for those children. Righteousness, wisdom, strength, justification, righteousness, a complete redemption. And those are now the things that he is revealing unto those babes upon their crying. Oh, the Bible says they may suck and they may be satisfied with the breast of her consolation. That is those little children. Those little children. And this way they come to know the Son. And this way, through the revelation of the Son, that they are also receiving the revelation of the Father. His Father and their father. O congregation, if your soul, cries after God, if it truly cries after God, then the Son will be revealed unto you. He took those babes up in his arms. He took them up in his arms. And he said, suffer those little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. If that shepherd has 100 sheep and one is gone, he leaves the 99 in the wilderness and he goes to seek that lost sheep. The brothers of Joseph, how did they stand there? Just like little children. Little children. So dependent. They had no food. No food. And they could not give themselves food. And they were guilty. And then the bowels of Joseph. Oh, he is yearning. Oh, then there is delight. Delight in the application of his own work. And he has gathered up all of that food. And now he is going to distribute it to those who are unworthy of it. O congregation, oh, will you not move the bowels of that greater Joseph by crying, even as a little babe crying unto him who reveals himself and who reveals his father unto babes. All things are given unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. And no man knoweth the Father but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we don't know how to cry. Thou teachest this. O Lord, make us a babe. Make us a little child. And that we might receive at upon our crying. But it is all based upon thy own mediatorial labors. Oh, include us, Lord, and give us never to let thee go and never to stop our crying until we may receive it. Thou hast said it. Shall it not be as that widow and that unjust judge take reasons then out of thyself? Bless word and sacrament. Be with us in the rest of this day. Give meditation upon thy truths. Help us keep from accident and danger. Bring each one safely to their place. Remember all thy servants that bring thy word. Give thy blessing in the midst of our denomination and our congregations. Supply for all the labors of our hands in the week to come. Care for all that travel to and fro through this world. Forgive and take away all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 381, 1 through 4. With grateful heart my thanks I bring. Before the great thy praise I sing. I worship in thy holy place. And praise thee for thy truth and grace. And what follows, 1 through 4 of 381. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.